Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin, and we are two lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis Omar Rab Tanchum Berei De Rab Chiyo Ish Kfar Akoy. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Rafal Gaz Ben Fega, Baruch Ben Rachel, Chaya Malka Bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel Bas Rachel Shendel, Chaya Sarah Bas Esther, Meira Chava Bas Shoshana, and Esther Kreindel Bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned to Inui Nishmas, Doiv Beryl, Ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So today's daf is very much a continuation of yesterday's daf, which was to a degree a continuation of the previous day's daf. And that is we are going to continue to discuss the halachos of Nidui and Cherem. So let's just recap, reframe, and segue into the daf. What we've learned is that Beis Din has the authority amongst the many authorities that it has, to put someone in quote-unquote cherem. Stating that, we saw that not all cherems were created equally. In fact, if you were going to take the concept that we know as cherem and divide it into two groups, they would be referred to as nidui and cherem. Nidui is the less severe version of it. Cherem is the more severe version of it. Leiroize kuroize, atzat hashova shebahen, is when someone is in nidui or someone is in cherem, he's to a degree excommunicated from the rest of the community. But at the same time, they're not entirely the same. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Perek Zayin, Halacha Dalet, he gives us the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, several lines that's worth repeating. What exactly does it mean to be in nidui? Says the Rambam, Mahu haminig sheyinoik hamenuda be'atzmoi, what is the basic customs that one needs to observe when he interacts with someone that's a menuda? Says the Rambam. Menuda also l'saper l'mechavis. A menuda is not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to wash his clothing. He doesn't count for zimun. He doesn't count for a minion, says the Rambam. He's not allowed to sit within his dalet amos. He's allowed to learn Torah. He's allowed to teach Torah. He can be hired to do a job. He can hire others to do a job. What if someone is a menuda and he dies? Says the Rambam, Bezdin shoychin umenichin evel al aroinoi. They did something very disrespectful to him, meaning a person takes his state of being menuda with him to the next world. In fact, Bezdin would put an evan, a very large evan, on his coffin. The ein tzarich loymer, says the Rambam, and it goes without say that a menuda that dies, ein maspidenoi soy, no one eulogized him, ve'im alavin es mitasoi, and nobody would partake in his levaya. Halacha, hey, yes, sir, olavam muchrim, the person that's in cherem is a little bit more chomer. How's he more chomer? Very few things, says the Rambam. Number one, whereas the menuda is allowed to learn Torah from others, and he's allowed to teach Torah to others, the muchrim is eino shoyin al acherim, they ain't shoyin in loy. Now, he's allowed to learn, k'dei shlo yishkach talmudai, but to learn from someone else, or to teach someone else, that's not okay. Additionally, whereas the menuda is allowed to hold a regular job, he can be hired to do work, he can hire others. The muchrim is einoy niskar, the ein niskar in law. Not just that, you're not allowed to handle with him. Ma'at, says the Rambam, kidei parnasasai, that we'll look away from. But other than that, the muchrim is someone that's completely, completely alienated. He's someone that's completely excommunicated from society. So these are the two levels, what's known as a menuda and what's known as a muchrim. The Rambam, a perek earlier in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he discusses what would a person have to do to qualify, to lo yaleinu, be in the state of being a menuda. And the Rambam says, al arba ve'esrin dvarim min adin es ha'adam. For any one of 24 violations, a person can be punished by being put into nidui. Okay, how then does a person get put into cherem? So from the Rambam, it would seem that the way a person would be put into cherem is if he is in a state of nidui for an extended period of time and he wasn't able to fix the problem that he has, at that point, Beis Din will determine that we need to upgrade the sentence and he's going to go from being a menuda into being a muchrim. So really, the 24 averis that would cause a person to become a menuda are the same 24 averis that would cause a person to be a muchrim. It's just that the entry level into this world is menuda. If the person doesn't correct his issues, he doesn't cure whatever problem it is he has. So then, after a certain period of time, Bezdin will determine that this person should be a mochem. Another thing is that was very, very clear is that how does somebody become a menudah? How does somebody become a mochem? It's through Bezdin. Not just that. Just like Bezdin has the authority to put someone into the state of nidui or into the state of cherem, Bezdin also has the authority to take a person out. Yesterday's daf, we saw a lot of halachas related to a menudah and a mukhrim. The previous daf, we also saw a lot of halachas related to a menudah and a mukhrim. We were also introduced to this quasi-concept known as nazifa. Regardless, today's daf is very much going to pick up on the same note. Zok, the Gemara, two lines from the bottom, on daf tezayin amad beis. Amar Rav Tanchum, Breid Rav Chiyav, Ish Kvagba. Amar Rav Yaakov, Baracha. Amar Rav Simloi. V'amri lo samsei, Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rav Huna. V'amri lo samsei, Amar Rav Huna l'chudei. It was only Rav Huna that said what we're about to say. Okay. Talmud shenido l'chvoidoi nidui of nidui. If there's a Talmud, meaning someone that's not yet at the level that you would consider him a Rebbe. He's a Talmud. He put someone into a state of nidui, and he did a lechvoidoi, because this person was being disrespectful to him. The halacha is, the nidui is a good nidui. Chiddush, you would have thought that maybe he's only a Talmud. So if he's only a Talmud, maybe he doesn't have the authority to do it, says the Gemara, whoever it is that said it, two lines of names, we're not sure who's the author of this halacha, but whoever it is said, Talmud shenida lechvoidoi, nidui of nidui, says the Gemara. How do I know that? The Tanya we learned to the Braisa, menudah l'rav, menudah l'talmud. If someone is a menudah l'rav, he was put into nidui to a Rebbe, it means that all the Talmidim have to observe the laws of nidui. Menudah l'talmud, however, if someone's a menudah only to a Talmud, ain't a menudah l'rav. The Talmud's Rebbe does not have to observe the nidui. So the Gemara says, it's clearly implied, l'rav hu de ain't a menudah, halu kuli am a menudah. There's a concept of being a menudah l'talmud, which makes this person a menudah. It's just to the Rebbe that he's not a menudah. So the Gemara says, Lamai, what happened here? Meaning, this person that's a menudah l'talmud, what did he do to make him a menudah? Even Milu Deshmaya, is it talking about that he violated one of the 24 things that the Rambam talks about that would require a person to end up a menudah? Ein chachma, ein tfuna, ein etzel, and neged Hashem. If this person did a real avera, he's a bona fide menudah, so why does it matter that the Talmud is the one that made him a menudah? Why would that exempt the Rebbe from having to observe the laws of nidui? The Rebbe could say, I understand this person did something that really renders a punishment of nidui, but being that it was my Talmud that put him into nidui, I don't have to observe something that my Talmud did. Says the Gemara, even though sometimes we think in those terms, but now when it comes to Chilul Hashem, in Chachma, Vein tfuna, vein eitzah. There's no svaris, there's no lumdis l'neged Hashem. So if this person is a menudah because of defiling Hashem, then there's no way we would say menudah l'talmud is not menudah l'rav. Elolav l'chvoid atzmi. You know what must have happened? This person must have done something to the Talmud. And the Talmud took umbrage to what it was that was done to him. And he said, guess what? The joke's on you. I'm putting you in a state of nidoy. The nidoy is a nidoy. And everybody around would have to observe that it's a nidoy. The only person that doesn't is the Rebbe. And that's the case, a menudah l'talmud, ain't a menudah l'rav, and that's the makar, talmud shen nidah l'chvaydeh, nidu yav nidah, because that is the case of menudah l'talmud, ain't a menudah l'rav. Am Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, tzur mirabanan, someone that's a young, budding rabbi. Rashi, Tainus, Daftal, Ramad Aleph, that we always quote, it's a yeshiva bacher, avidina l'nafshe. He's allowed to take matters in his own hand, b'milsa d'psikale, if the matter that he's taking into his own hand, he's 100% confident that he got right. So what does this mean? So the way Rashi seems to explain the Gemara, this really doesn't necessarily have anything to do with nidoy. It could affect nidoy, but it's me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan. What Rabbi Yosef was saying was that even though ordinarily when it comes to, for example, monetary law, you would have to have a bezin of three people to determine whether a person is chayev money, is not chayev money, but an tzur b'mirabanan is ovid dina l'nafshe. He's allowed to take matters in his own hand, even though he's only a yachid, as long as it's a milsa d'psikale, as long as it's something that he's 100% sure he got right. Hurtzum rabbanon. So the Gemara now is going to tell a long story. There was a tzur b'mirabanon, the son of Shumanin. This person had a bad reputation. And what does that mean? So Rashi doesn't say. But usually what it means is Gili Arayis. So this person had a reputation that he was a Noyef, that he had been guilty of Gili Arayis. Amr Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda the Amir said, Hey Chilav, what should we do with this? Tzur b'mirabana. Should we put him in Cheirim? Tzrichi le'rabana? The Rabbana need him. Can't just put him in Cheirim. Apparently, he lived in a kehila somewhere where he was the only rabbi. And if he was going to be excommunicated, so the Chevra wouldn't have anyone to go ask their Shailas to. And as a result, it was going to be an issue. So Rav Yehuda said to put him into Cheirim. I mean, that would be the natural thing to do, but it's not so posh. Loy l'shamte, should we not put him into Cheirim? Kam mischol shmada shmaiz, b'mechal shem shamayim. So amalei l'rabbi bar bachana. So Rav Yehuda turns to Rabbi bar bachana. He says, tell me, midi shmir l'chabaha, do you have any information? You have an insight? You have a braisa? Have you heard anything from one of the friyadige gedolim? I'm not sure what to do with this person. This person deserves to be put in Cheirim. Gili Arayis. But then again, we need him. So what are we supposed to do? Fascinating question. Amalei. So Rabbi Bar Bachana told Rabbi Yehuda, Hachi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Not only did I hear something, I heard something in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan. He said, Ma'i d'chsev, what's pshan in the pasuk that says, Ki sif se koyin yishmeru das, v'toyri yivakshu mipiyu, ki malach Hashem tzvok oisu. Yim toy ma'i rav l'malach Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan said, if a Rebbe is like a malach Hashem, yivakshu toyri mipiv, you should learn toyri from him. V'im lav, and if not, al yivakshu toyri mipiv, you shouldn't learn toyri from him. So what was Rabbi Bar Bachana trying to say? I heard from Rabbi Yochanan, the only time you're supposed to learn toyri from someone is if the person's like a malach Hashem tzvakos. So if there are rumors being spread that this person is nichshol in Gili Arayis, of course you put him in Cheirim. What's the tzadnat? Because he's the rabbi? If he's the rabbi, then you're not supposed to be learning Torah from him anyways. So he said, if that's what's going on, al yivakshu Torah Torah mipiv, and it's poshi, you should put him into Cheirim. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda heard that, promptly, shamte Rav Yehuda. Put him into Cheirim. L'soif, short while later, ichlish Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda became ill. Asa Rabbanu l'sh'ulebe, and the Rabbanu all came to be mevaka chayla. They wanted to see how Rav Yehuda was doing. V'asa iu nami bahadayu. And this person that Rav Yehuda had put into Nidoy also came. Katchazia, Rav Yehuda, when this person saw Rav Yehuda, chayach, Rav Yehuda started smiling, started laughing. Amalei. So this yid, this rabbi who had this questionable reputation. So he turns to Rav Yehuda and he says, "Loi mistayich deshamte elahu gavre elachuchi nami chayich mi." I mean, it's one thing you want to put me into Cheirim, but you're even laughing at me? Why are you doing that? That's not nice. Amalei. So Rav Yehuda told him, "Labedidach mechayich." Nah, I'm not laughing at you. I'm not rubbing it in. Elo dechiyazul nalahu alma. You want to know why I'm laughing? I'm laughing because I realize now that one day Rav Yehuda wasn't well, and he realized that his end was coming, and he said, "Bedicha datoy, I'm very happy that feel a gavre kavaseich loichanifile, because when I saw you walk in, and I realized you're a person of stature, and I realized the courage it took for me to be able to stand up against you and to put you into nidoy, I realized that ooh, now I'm going to get a lot of schar because I didn't chan for you, and as a result, I'm the simcha." I'm not happy for what happened to you. That's not what this is about. That's not the reason I'm happy. The reason I'm smiling is because I realize now what I was able to accomplish. And he says, now he was lying on his deathbed. So he said, the Gemara says, "Noch nafshid Rabbi Yehuda." Short time later, Rabbi Yehuda passed away. Asad le Medrasha. So this he came to Beis Medrash. Amar Lohu, and he told the Oilam in Beis Medrash, "Sharuli, will someone be matir my nidoy?" So as long as Rabbi Yehuda was alive, it wasn't happening. But now Rabbi Yehuda passed away. He was holach loy lamoy. So this person goes into Beis Medrash and he says, "Sharuli, please, somebody help me out, bail me out of this mess." Amar le Rabbanon. So Rabbanon said, "Garve the chashiv Rabbi Yehuda leka hachad l'itrulach." We need someone on the caliber of Rabbi Yehuda to be able to be matter. Why? So this is based on something that we saw in yesterday's daf, where the Gemara said that if a person puts someone into nidoy, even if someone else is going to be matter the nidoy, but that someone else has to be comparable b'madrega to the person that put him into nidoy. They said Rabbi Yehuda just passed away. There's no one in the madrig of Rabbi Yehuda. What are we supposed to do? So he said, "Elo zilagabed Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya." The only thing I can advise you, they said, is go to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. He was a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was also the Nasi. Delishrilach. He's a Nasi. He has the qualifications. He'll be able to help you out. So the Gemara says, "Asa l'kameh." So this person went to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Amalei the Rav Ami. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya told Rav Ami, "Puk ayin bedine." He said, "Go be my ayin and do a little bit of due diligence. Imi bayla mishrile sharile. And if you deem that it's appropriate to be matted, then you do. Let's be matted Pati the Nidoy. So the Gemara says, Ayin Rabbi Amar Bedine. Rabbi Ami was Ma'ayin and Sovel Mishrilay. And he was about to be Matur. It's Rabbi Ami gets together with his Bezdin. Rabbi Ami, incidentally, had a very famous Bezdin that comes up in different places in Shas. And his court was going to repeal this Nidoy that Rav Yehuda had imposed on this questionable person. So the Gemara says, as Rabbi Ami is about to do it, Amad Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni al Raglo. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni was present in the court. He gets up on his feet. The Omer, and he said, "Akal v'chaymer, u'ma shifcha shabais Rebbe, madach the maidservant of Rebbe, lo'y na'agu chacham kalas roish penin udeo shalo shonim." When she put someone into cherim, for 3 years the Rabbanon were afraid to do anything to that cherim. Yehuda chavireinu, as it relates to Yehuda, our chavir Rabbi Yehuda put someone in cherim, alachas kama v'kama. You see how careful people were with the cherim of Amsa de Bei Rebbe. Can you imagine how careful we have to be with Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says like this, Amr Rab Zeir, Rab Zeir was also present in this court. He said, "May de kama da'as what's Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who was very, very old at the time, what's he doing in Beis Medrash? Apparently, Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni had not been in Beis Medrash for many, many years. Punk that day, he was in Beis Medrash. And punk that day, Rav Ami is about to be matu the nidui of this person, and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni has a piece of information, and he says, "Don't do it, because I know how careful Chazal were when it comes to a nidoy. Certainly, when it comes to the nidoy of Rabbi Yehuda." And Rav Zeira said, "It's not a coincidence that he's here. Shmami no ami bayil mishrilei. This is a simon from Shemayim that we're not supposed to be matter the nidoy. We're supposed to listen to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. The Gemara says leisharilei. So he wasn't matter the nidoy. Nafak. This person went out. Ki kabachi v'azal. He was crying. And as this happened, azazibura, a little hornet came." V'tarkei ha'amsei, and he bit him, ba'oisei makim, v'shachiv, and he died. That's the story with this person. But it doesn't end. Ailulim ha'rasa, the chassidi. So now they had to bury him. So they wanted to bury him together with the chassidim. He was, at the end of the day, he was a chashiv, a rabbi. V'loik kiblu alayu. But nobody, the Chever Kadisha, they wouldn't accept him. Some say that it wasn't the Chever Kadisha that wouldn't accept him, but miraculously, Rashi says there was an achon, there was a creature of Tanarach Noifen that surrounded his the Pesach forest, and they had no way of burying him there. The Maros of the Daini, then they went to the Ma'or of the Dayan of the Kiblu, and there they were able to bury him. The Maros says, "My time, why? Why did the Ma'or of the Dayanim, why there? Did he have the schus to get buried?" And the Gemara says something amazing. The Avad Karabi Loi. Because although it's true, this person had done an Avera. It was true. Clearly it was true. You see, Mishamayim, everything played itself out. But when he did the Avera, he did it in Rabbi Loi's fashion. The Tanya we learned to the Brice, Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Loi said, "In Raya Adam Shiitzer Miskaber Olaf, if a person sees that he can't overcome his Yetzahara, Yelech Lamakam Shei Makirin Oisai, he should go to a place where no one recognizes him. V'yobash Shchayim, he should put on dark clothing. V'yisatav Shchayim, and he should wrap his head with a dark head cover." And he should do whatever he wants. Meaning, if a person sees that he can't overcome his Yetzahara, it is what it is. Go to a place where no one's going to recognize you and do the Averis over there. But at the same time, don't be Mechal Shem Shemayim Befarhasi. And this person was sensitive that he observed what Rabbi Loi said. As for that reason, Ashtikla Schus he had, and the Schus was that he ended up getting buried together, not with the Chassidim, but with the Dayanim. That's the story with this person that Rav Yehuda stood up against. He didn't get impressed with the Chanofa aspect. He put him into Nidoy. Now, Agav, the Gemara mentioned, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said something about Shifcha Shal Beis Rebbe, who had put someone into Nidoy. So the Gemara says, what's that all about? Shifcha Shal Beis Rebbe, Mahi, the Amsad Bei Rebbe Chazisa Lugavid HaVemachid Abnei Gadol. Amsad Bei Rebbe once saw someone who was hitting his older child. Amra. So she said, Lahavi Ahu Gavra B'Shamta, this person should be in Nidoy. Deka'over Mishum V'lifnei Yivir Lo'yisita Michshol, because this person's being Goyver V'lifnei Yivir Lo'yisita Michshol. Tanya Berlin Tebraiso, V'lifnei Yivir Lo'yisita Michshol. What is this referring to? It's referring to somebody that hits his older child. So just to stop for 1 second, we just mentioned one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. The Gemara is also in Chagiga Daf Tezayin. It's in Kedushin Daf Mem. The Gemara says, Rabbi Loi said, "Imroya Adam Sheyitzer Meskaber Olav." If a person sees that his Yetzahara is getting the better of him, what should he do? Yelech Lamakim Shei Makirin Oisa. He should go to a place that nobody recognizes him. Yilbash Shchayrim, Yisatev Shchayrim. He should put on dark clothing. V'yasem mashal libay chafetz. And he should do whatever he wants. Abaval yichal shem shemayim b'farhesya. Just don't do the averis b'farhesya. Tosfos says, Dibra maschal imroya adam sheyitzer meskaber olam. That kosev Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel said, chas v'sholom loyhuta loylasas avera. You read the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Loi is telling you that if you feel that you can't overcome your yetzahara, then beseder, it's fine. Try your best efforts. If it doesn't work, then what are you supposed to do? So just don't do it. Befarhesya. So said Rabbeinu Chananel that even though it feels that way a little bit from the Gemara, abechas v'sholom. Don't think that. Loyhuta loylasas avera. Elo. So what then does the Gemara mean? Yeleich lamakim shchayrim v'yichas shchayrim. What it means is al yedei kach yichna liboy. And the parak kama the kedushin pirashi. Tosfos, I explained it better in kedushin in the first parak. That Gemara, daf mem, the very, very end of the first parak, very long, 40 blot first parak. But either way, says Tosfos, quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, that of course the Gemara doesn't mean literally you should go to a makim shchayim. Rather, what does the Gemara mean? It means that if you're going to go to that place, meaning literally you should go to a makim shchayim, but not because it'll be mutter than to do the avera, but rather that's going to be machnia you to a point where you won't feel the gaiva which leads to the taiva which is going to cause you to end up doing the avera. That is the tool that the person needs for him to be able to overcome his yetzahara. If you take a look at the Rif, right here in Masechtas Ma'akotin, the Rif says that even though Rabbi Loi said Imroya Adam Shiitzer Meskaber Olof Yelech Lamakim Shei Makirinoy Savil B'Shchem Yisatev Shchem Yasim Ashali B'Chafetz Less Hilchas HaKavasei to Rabbi Loi. The Rif says we don't pass like Rabbi Loi. He says, you know, I know that. Because we know Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Miyir Shamayim. That's the rule. That even though Hakol Bidei Shamayim, so much of our lives were predetermined before we came down to this world. But Chutz Miyir Shamayim, there's one thing we have full control over. This one thing that we have free will, and that is to determine whether we're going to be tzaddikim or whether we're going to be rishon, whether we're going to do mitzvahs or whether we're going to veer away from the Torah, we're going to do averis. So says the Rif, we don't paskin like Rabbi Loi. You know why? Because we paskin that hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. And if that's the case, it's not possible that Rabbi Loi is right. So let's learn the Rif. Pashup shah. What's the Rif saying? The Rif understood that the Gemara means literally. If a person sees that he cannot overcome his Yetzirah, you know what that means? That means he cannot overcome his Yetzirah. That means it's physically impossible for him to keep Torah mitzvahs. So what's he supposed to do? Says the Gemara, do it, meaning go and do averos, but at the same time, don't do befarhesya. So va'al yichal shem shemayim befarhesya. Oh, but it's muchach the Rif held, not like Rabbeinu Chananel, but rather the Gemara means literally, if a person sees that he has no ability to overcome his Yetzahara, it's probably because he has no ability to overcome his Yetzahara. And therefore, he should just do it in a place where he's not going to make a Chilul Hashem. Oh, but the Rif, it can't be that stalacha, because we paskin that a person has free will. We paskin HaKol B'Dei Shemayim, Chutz Meir Shemayim, like the Arachayim famously says in the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, that the Parsha of Arayis, as difficult as it is, was given to every single Yid. It doesn't matter who you are. He says it was given to the Gadol Shebegdoilim and to the Kotten Shebegtanim. Every single person is shaykh to be Nizer and Arayis, and every person is shaykh to be Nizer and all the Averis of the Torah. So the bottom line is, we don't paskin that there's a metzias of a person who's in Roya Adam Sheitzer Miskaber Olav, that it's impossible for him to overcome his Yetzahara. So it's Mavur, the Rif argued Rabbeinu Chananel. Think about it, you saw the stigma chloikis. According to the Rif, there's a man domer and chas. His name was Rabbi Loi. Maybe this is Rabbi Yehuda's father. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Loi. But there was a Tana Rabbi Loi who holds that a person does not have free will. And there's no Akol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Meir Shamayim. Where do you see that in the Rif? Because the Rif brings Rabbi Loi, and the Rif says we don't paskin like Rabbi Loi, because we paskin Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Meir Shamayim. So and what does Rabbi Loi hold? Vaisis Rabbi Loi doesn't hold Akol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Meir Shamayim. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his Kovitz Mamorim, in an art, he quotes this Shita Sarif to answer a very shver Rambam. The Rambam, in one of his letters, says that even though the Gemara says, Arbam Yoim Koidim Yitziras Avlad, Paskol Yoitznes Bas Ploini Laploini, he says the Rambam, we don't paskin like that. It's not true. Even though the Gemara says it, it's not true. Why? So the Rambam says, because getting married is a mitzvah. And Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meir Shamayim. So how could there be a Paskol that says, Bas Ploini Laploini? What if he wants to get married and she doesn't want to get married? Or she wants to get married, he doesn't want to get married. There can't be a Paskol that gets involved in a person's mitzvah is because Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meir Shamayim. Al Zen Nemar free will. Al Zen Nemar Bechira Chavshis. So says the Rambam, it's not true. Even though the Gemara says it, it's not true. Frek Rabbi Chanan Rabbeinu Shalayim. What's Pashpshah in this Rambam? The Rambam had a kasha on the Gemara, so he just crossed out the Gemara. The Rambam says, the Gemara says something, I don't understand it. Memeil, it's not true. What do you mean it's not true? It's a Gemara. Soita da bezem and olive, it's coming up again soon. Everyone knows this Gemara. That arpam yoim koinim yitzias aplad, Baskol says, vas ploy middle ployni. Azoi freaked. Rabbi Chanan, Zok Rabbi Chanan. Of course the Rambam wasn't crossing out a Gemara. And the Rambam knew the Gemara says, bas ploini leploini. So what did the Rambam do with the Gemara? The Rambam held that Gemara holds like Rabbi Eloi, who holds in my Katan Yud Zayin, and in Chagiga Tezayin, and Kedushin Daf Mem, that we don't say Akol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim. L'shitas HaRif, the way he learned the Gemara, the Rambam also learned the Gemara like the Rif. So he held it was a Mandama that didn't hold the Bechira. And he held the Gemara, Bas Ploini Leploini, is going according to the Mandama that doesn't hold the Bechira. And according to that Mandama, it's true, Bas Ploini Leploini. But we paskin Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'ir Shemayim. Like the Rif said, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eloi B'Melo. We don't paskin like the Gemara in Sait Dapes either. We don't paskin the Gemara, Bas Ploini Leploini. Dvorim Neflam. But we have to go weiter. Zok the Gemara, weiter is Shlokish. Another story. Have a Manta Pardisa. Rish Lakish was once watching a garden, an orchid. Asnahu Gavra. A person came for Kach Achel Teini, and he started eating his Teinim. He started eating his fruit. The Gemara says, Rama Beikala. So Rish Lakish was very upset. He yelled at him. He wasn't fazed. Amar, it's Rish Lakish said, Lahavi Ahu Gavra Beshamta. You should be a Nidoy. Amale, so the person was a Mechutzav too. Not only a Ganim. He said, Adarabba, Lahavi Ahu Gavra Beshamta. He said, you Reish Lakish, you should be a Nidoy. He said, why? Because Imamai Nischayafti Lecha. Nidoy mi Nischayafti Lecha? Nischayafti ben Nidoy. Maybe this is where it comes from. But he said, Imamai Nischayafti Lecha. Nidoy mi Nischayafti Lecha? I was never chayef Nidoy. I'm a ganev, you're right. I owe you to Enid, but you have no right to just recklessly and frivolously put me into Nidoy. So the Gemara says, Asa the Beim Joshua Reish Lakish was all Tzemish now. So he goes to Beis Medrash and he asks, the Bnei Yeshiva, he said, what do I do? Am I in Nidui? Is he in Nidui? Like, what's the story? Amalu, this is what they told him. Shaloi Nidui, you're in Nidui. Meaning, what he said is right. Shalcha inoi Nidui. No, he's a ganav. He had no right to put him into Nidui, but he had a right to put you into Nidui. You know why? Because you put him into Nidui when you didn't have a right to put him into Nidui. And you know what happens to a person that puts someone into Nidui when really he doesn't deserve to be put into Nidui? He himself is in Nidui. In fact, if you look at the Rambam's count of 24 people that are Chayiv Nidui, Mispar Chav Dalet, number 24, HaMenade Misha Ein Chayiv Nidui. Someone's Menade Zoma, that's not Chayiv Nidui. Which is this Gemara right here. And the Gemara says it's a Braisa, the Tanya Nidu. So says the Gemara, Maite Kant. He said, what should I do? Zilla Gabi the Lishri Lach. He said, go to him and ask him to please be Materitz. He said, Lo Yodanale, I didn't even know who he is. On Relay, they told him, Zilla Gabi Nesia the Lishri Lach. Go to the Nasi. The Nasi can always get a person out of a Nidu. Tanya, we're going to the Braisa. Nidu, if someone puts someone into Nidu, if any of them mean Nidu, but the person doesn't know who put him into Nidu, Yelechet, so Nasi, Yatale, Nidu, you can always go to the Nasi, and the Nasi can take you out of the Nidu. Amr Rafuna, Rafuna said, Usha skin on Usha, they made it takon. So Usha was one of the places that the Sanhedrin went into exile around the time of the Churban. So we know the Sanhedrin historically and traditionally was always in the Makom HaMikdash. In fact, they had a special Lishka in the Har HaBayis. It was known as Lishkas HaGazis, and that's where the Sanhedrin used to sit. But several decades before Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin were forced into exile, and they would have to go from place to place simply because it was just too dangerous to convene as a Sanhedrin. And they were on the gun, or on the run, I should say. So says the Gemara, one of the places was Usha, and there were many takunas that were instituted in Usha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, be Usha hiskinu. One of the takanas that were instituted in Usha was as follows. Av Bezdin Shesarach. If the Av Bezdin made a mistake, meaning the Av Bezdin deserves to be put into Nidu. In Menadonai, so you don't put him into Nidu. Elo Imrila, we tell him, Hachbeit, Veshav Bebeischa, meaning lay low, try to keep a low profile, try to stay out of the public image, but stay at home. Meaning, we're not putting you into Nidui, we're not going to go through this formal process. But at the same time, as long as you stay out of the way, everything is going to be Chazav Asarach. What happens if this of Bezdin doesn't have Eira again? Menadonois, then we have no choice. Mipnei Chil Hashem. Plead the Reish Lakish, not like Reish Lakish. Amr Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish, said, Tamil Chachim, Shasarach, im Menadonois, Befarhasiyah. We're never Menadon, Befarhasiyah. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'chashalta hayoim, V'chashal gam novi imcha, loyla, V'damisni imecha. And we learn from here, it says, loyla, we darshan kaseo kalayla, that you should cover it, Kalayla, you're never supposed to embarrass him before Hesia. Mazut Chasida, Kim Chayv Tzum Rabbanon Shamto. Mazut Chasida, if you ever saw a Tzum Rabbanon that deserved to be put into Shamto, So, Bereisha Meshamas Nafshi, first he would put himself into Shamto, he'd put himself into Nidoy, and then afterwards he would put the other person into Nidoy. Whenever he was going to go be amongst people, so Sharlein and Nafshi, first he would be Matar his own Nidoy, and then he would be Matar the other person's Nidoy. Amar Rav Gidol, Rav Gidol said the name of Rav, Tamil Chacham, and Adal Atzmei, Tamil Chacham could put himself into Nidoy, he could be made for his Nidoy as well. Amar Rav Papa said, Tetsi, Lee, I'm going to get Tzchar, Tlai Shemiti, Tzum Rabbat, and Lailam. I never put a Tzum Rabbat into Nidoy. Yeah, look, you come a Chayb, Tzum Rabbat, and Shamto. So what do I do if a Tzum Rabbat deserves to be in Nidoy? Hey, Chiyavit, Gehada b'maravo, I do what they did in Eretz Yisrael. Mimnu anegido. The Tzum Rabbanon. They would get together and vote for a Tzum Rabbanon to get lashes. But not Shamta. Nidui is worse than physical lashes. My Shamta. Why this word Shamta? This is a word that's been coming up a lot. So what does this mean? It's synonymous with Nidui, but what does it mean? Amar Rav. Rav said it's an acronym. Shamta is really made up of two words. Sham Misa. There is death. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Shemama Yeh. The person's going to be completely desolate, wiped out. Umahanya Bey, the Gemara says, Shamta is very potent. Just said it's worse than physical torture. It's so potent, it's Kitichya Betanura. The mashal that the Gemara gives, it's like taking fat and sliming the inside of an oven. Pliga the Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, it's not like Reish Lakish. Shem Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Kishem Shenechnasis B'masayim V'arbam Ushmay Nevarim. Just like Nidoy, it enters the 248 Evarim of a person, the Ramach Evarim, Kach Sheyoytz, Yoytz, Masayim Rabbanim, Shmai Evarim. So too, when it leaves, it leaves the 248 Evarim as well. Kishin Nechneses, how do you know when it enters the 248 Evarim, the Chsiva Hoysahoy, Ir Cherem. Cherem, this is one of the places the Gemara quotes, the Gematria, is the Gematria, Masayim Rabbanim, Shmai, the 248. Have a Kshiyoytz, when it leaves, the Chsiv, also it leaves all 248, Beroyges Rachim, Tiska Rachim, is also the Gematria, Achihava. It's also the Gematria, 248. So the Gemara says that the previous Gemara that says that Nidoy is potent, ki tichya betanura, is pliga derech lakish. So what does this mean? The Gemara said that when you put someone into Shamta, it's like smearing the inside of an oven with fat. What's the significance of that? Rashi, kloimar, it's going to be there forever. Nivla betoichay shen yoytzal oilam. It's impossible for a person to lose Shamta. Once a person gets diagnosed, Rachman al Islam, with Shamta, it's over. There's nothing he can do. There's no way in the world for him to cure the Shamta. That's Pligid Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish said that just like it enters the Ramach Ivarim, it's called Cherim, Begamachia Ramach, so too, Bereg is Rachim Tiskar, it leaves as well. Amr Rav Yoyz said, Sadi, Shadi, Shamta, Agnufta de kalpa, you can put a shamta on the tail of a dog, and everything is going to happen by itself. Meaning, shamta is so powerful, you person would impose a shamta on even an animal, and all of a sudden the whole animal is going to devolve. Ahu kalva, there was a dog to have a ochel masani de rabbana. So this dog was eating the shoes of the rabbana. No one knew which dog it was. It was a problem. The ilum was losing their shoes. It's a dog, and they were trying to figure out what to do. So the Gemara says they're going to do Shamta. The Shamtule, they use the Shamta, Itli Beinuro, Bignufta Va'achlase. All of a sudden, the tail of this dog caught fire, and that was the end of the dog, and there was no issues with the shoes anymore. Ahu Alama, there was a very powerful person, Avakom Tzad, Lehu Tzum Rabban, who was shepping with a Tzum Rabban. Also, the Kamadir Rav Yosef, he came before Rav Yosef, Amalei, so Rav Yosef told him, Zil Shamte, put him in Nidoy, Amalei Mistafina Mine, he's an Alama. Right, he's called the Olam Gavar, right? He's very, very powerful. I'm not starting up with him. I'm a lazy. He told him, Shokol Pesichnola, write the Shamta down on a piece of paper. He said, I should give it to him in writing. Koshkein the Mistafina Mina. That's even more dangerous. I'm a lazy. He told him, Shokle Achsebekad. This is what you should do. You should write it down. You have to hear the rest, the end of the story. And you should put it into a kad, the Achsebe Kivri. And then you should take it to a Besak forest. Nobody's there. The Karabe Alpha Shipuri. And you shall blow 1,000 kias and shvarams, as we'll see, with the shofar. Barbon Yoim, and do it for 40 days. Azalavad Hachi, he did this. Pakakada. All of a sudden, the kada exploded. Miss Alama, and this very powerful person eventually died. My shifari, why do you use a shofar? So the Gemara says, because the word shofar is miloshin shenefra mimenu. It could cause a person einish. Usually you think of the shofar, you think of the rachamim. kata shemea kol shofar. But shofar is also miloshin pironios. My tavra, why a shvarim? I'm Rav Yitzchak Bredi Rav Yehuda, kavri bati rami. And the significance is we blow a shvarim to show that shamta, it can take the most powerful person or the tallest buildings and it can knock it down. That's the koyach of the shofar in conjunction with the shamta. The Tanya, I'm Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, wherever the chachamim place their eyes, oy misa oy oyni, it brings either misa or it brings oyni. And when the chachamim put a person into shamta, so this is an example of nasnu chachamim esenayim, and that's why it's so powerful. Rashi says, it's actually Rashi in the Ksav Yad. So what does it mean? Kol makom she nasnu chachamim esenayim. Rashi's lashon lefi sheim charifin umechudadim umedaktikin b'mashehin royin yoyse mikaladim. When a chacham sees something, he's medactic more than a regular person. Lefichach ayin shalehem kasha. His ayin is more kasha. So this idea of kol makom shenasnu chacham meineim oy misa yoyni, we'll have to save this for another day. But it seems it's like an ayin hara type of concept, that the eyes of a chacham have a different level of power. So we're just going to start the next gemara. We're literally going to start and making a very, very abrupt short stop, and then we'll go back to the sugyas of Nidu and Shamta, but we can't stop here. It's a little bit too high. So referring back to the Mishnah said, "Ve'elu megalchem b'mayit." So ordinarily, a person is not allowed to be megalchem b'mayit. Why? Kadesh lo yichnasu l'ragel k'shem minuval. Stating that there was a whole example, a whole list of people that are allowed to. Says the Gemara, who is this list? Habam b'din asayam mi beis hashivya hayoytz mi beis hasurim hamenoda. The topic of the day. Someone had made a neder or a shvu, v'hanazir, v'hametzayra, ha'oyla metumasay l'tarasay. So a metzayra that goes from being tamei to tar, now he's one of the people that are allowed to be megalchem b'mayit. But even Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Zeira, so Rabbi Yirmi the Talmud, who's always asking shailas, asked his Rebbe, Rabbi Zeira, the following question: Bishloi hoyolehem pnai, oy tilma af bishahoyolehem pnai. His question was that the Mitzayra that was oyla mitumase l'tarasa, that he's one of the people that are megalchem b'mayit. Is it only true if he had no time to be megalech before mayit? What if he had time to be megalech before mayit, but he didn't have that much time and he didn't get around to it? So he became tar not on yontif or not on chol mayit, but a little bit before yontif. He had a little bit of time, but again, not enough time, and thus he was a little negligent. Would he be able to? Would he not be able to? So this was Rabbi Yirmiyah's question that he asked Rabbi Zeira. So Amalei Rabbi Zeira told him, Tanina. It's a braisa. The braisa says, "Call Evu Shamru Mutanu Legalech B'Moyed." Everyone mentioned the Mishnah. That's Labi Megalech B'Moyed B'Shalay Ha'olam Pnai. It's talking about if they didn't have any time before Moyed. Avol Ha'olam Pnai Asurim. If they had Pnai, they're Asur. Nazir U'Mitzayra, as it relates to the Nazir U'Mitzayra, Afapisha Ha'olam Pnai Mutarim. Even if they had time, they would be Mutar. So both the Nazir and the Mitzayra, and the reason is, because we don't want them to push off their karbanos. Because the Nazir has to bring karbanos when he completes his Naziris, and the Mitzayra has to bring karbanos when he completes his Naziris. Now, first, they have to do a Giluach. The Nazir had a Kaddis here, the Mitzayra had a Kaddis here, and then afterwards, were they able to bring their karbanos? If you're going to push him off a little bit too long, there's always a concern that he may not bring his karbanos in the proper time. So therefore, we say that even though, ordinarily, if you had Pnai, you would not be allowed to be megalech amayit. These people, even if they had all the time in the world, it's a big chiddush what we're saying now. It doesn't matter that they had time. The reality is they are allowed to be megalech at all times on chol hamoed. Because when they're megalech, it's going to allow them now to bring the carbon. We don't want them to have to delay bringing the carbon. And therefore, it's not like the other examples of the Mishnah, that the only time they're allowed to be Megalech is if they had no time beforehand. The Nazir and the Mitzayra are completely, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but they're completely unique, they're completely different, that even if they had time before, it doesn't matter. They're a total exception to the rule. They're always allowed to be Megalech on Chol Hamoed Exhale. So the topic of the Daf, and really the topic of the last three Dafin, has been the halachos of a menuda, the halachos of a muhrim, the halachos of excommunication that the Rambam talks about in Perek Vav Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Zayin Hilchos Talmud Torah. So as far as a raid bite goes, I thought maybe it would be worthwhile talking and really exploring a little bit on a very simple, superficial level, maybe the most famous person ever to be put into cherem. So who was the most famous person in Jewish history that was put into Cheirem? L'Cheira, it was none other than the great Tana, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol is known as Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, And the Pashut reason is because he was put into Cheirim. And as we'll see, there's a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim and the Achronim that really we can only appreciate now that we learned Mesechtas Moed Katan, Daf Tezvav, and Daf Tezayin, and Daf Yudzayin, in terms of what exactly the nature of the Cheirim of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was. But in order for us to go through the Rishonim a little bit, we have to take a step backwards, and we have to revisit Gemaras that are literally—we say this a lot—but literally some of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. But just to reacquaint ourselves a little bit with some of the nuances, so we could better appreciate the discussion at hand. So the first Gemara, when you explore the Cheirim of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, is the Gemara in the end of the fourth parak in the Masechtas Bava Metzia, Parak Hazav. The Gemara over there says that there was a machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding a certain oven, what became known as the Tanur Achnai. But this was a certain oven made of earthenware. And the shaila was, at what point is this oven considered complete that right now it's roi v'kabel tumah? Rabbi Eliezer said bekoi, the Chachamim said bekoi, and there was a major debate, says the Gemara, in the context of this machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham, Tan. Rabbi Eliezer was making argument after argument after argument, and he was trying to prove his position connected to Chachamim. But the Chachamim did not accept any of the arguments that Rabbi Eliezer was saying. So finally, Rabbi Eliezer said, here's the showdown. If I'm right, this carob tree should say testimony. Says the Gemara, immediately, as Rabbi Eliezer said, that the carob tree uprooted itself from its place, and it jumped 100 amas. The Amri Lassam say, 400 amas. So Rabbi Eliezer turns to the Chachamim and he says, I told you so. Look at what happened. I said, then I'm right. And the Chruv just jumped 100 or 400 amas. Amri Lassam, the Chachamim told him, the Chruv, he's the Lamdan? He's the person that's going to be Machriya the Shaila? Since when does a Chruv have the ability and the credentials to be Machriya Shaila? Chazav Amalayim, Rabbi Eliezer said, I hear. See, he said, let this Amasamayim, this stream of water prove that I'm right. Says the Gemara, Chazav Amasamayim Lachere. So the stream was going in one direction, and all of a sudden it started going in the other direction. So again, he turned to the Chachamim and he said, you see, I'm right. Amalayim, they told him, Emevi Raim Amasamayim. Just like Emavi and Raya men Achruv, Emavi and Raya men Amasamayim. Chazav Amalayim. So then he told him, Imalacha Kamoisi, Koisli Beis HaMedrash Yechichu. Let the Koisli Beis HaMedrash prove that I'm right. Says the Gemara, Hitu Koisli Beis Medrash Lipa. The Koisli Beis Medrash literally started to fall. Gar Behem Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua was there, and Rabbi Yeshua yelled, Amalehem. He said, Im Talmidei Chachamim Menatzchim Zeh Zeh BaHalacha. He says, if Talmidei Chachamim are going at it in Halacha, Atem Matifchem, what are you getting involved there? Why the Koisli Beis Medrash starting to fall? So the Gemara says, Lo Naflum Ibnei Kvaydish Rabbi Yeshua. The walls didn't fall because of the covenant of Rabbi Yeshua, the Lozakhu, but at the same time they didn't stand up erect again if they quoted this Rabbi Eliezer. And in the times of the Gemara, Damiram knew where this wall was. That was the rest of the story, and it was still in this state where it was leaning a little bit. Why? Because of this Maisa, says the Gemara Chazav Amalehem. So Rabbi Eliezer again turned to the Chacham and he said, so forget about the Chruv, the Masamayim, even the Koisle Beis Medrash, which are angizapped with Torah. You don't want to prove anything from that? I understand. Says the Gemara Yatzis Abaskalam. Abaskal emerged and said, Malachem Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer. He said, what are you arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? Do you know Rabbi Eliezer is Shehalacha Kemoisai Bechal Makoim? The halacha is always like Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Shua Raglov. Rabbi Shua got up for Amar and he said, Loi Bashamayim. Tyre is Loi Bashamayim. My Loi Bashamayim. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Kvarnit na Tyre me Arsinai. Rabbi Shua was trying to say, was the Tyre was given from Arsinai. And Ein Anu Mashkichem Bebaskol. We don't care what the Baskol says. Shekvar Kosafta Bar Sinai the Tyre. Because we have the Tyre and the Tyre says, Achre Rabbim Lahatos. And Rabbi Eliezer is a Yochid, even though he was Roi Vaechos. And we're the Rabbim, we're Roi Vakamos. And at the end of the day, Achre Rabbim Lahatos. And this is the way we're going to Paskin. The Gemara says, as an aside, Ashkechei Rab Nosson Leliyo. Rab Nosson met Eliyo Anavi. Amalei told him, I ovid kutcha brich vahi shaita. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing now? Amalei. So Eliyo Anavi told him, Kachayich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiling. He's very besimcha. Va'amar, and he said, Nitzchuni banai, Nitzchuni banai. He's quelling. Kaviyachol. He's so happy that Nitzchuni banai, that my children are proving that I'm wrong. Meaning, the Baskol said, Malachem Eitzel Rabbi Eliezer, Shalacha Kamoisa B'chal Makayim. The Chachamim said, we don't care, Eim Mashkichem B'Baskol, and it's Chuni Banai. And Eibishter was very, very happy. Says the Gemara, Amru, Rebbe Eliezer was a mekel in the Shail of Tanur Achnoi, and all the tyrus that Rebbe Eliezer had been mekel on because of his lenient position about the tumma status of this Tanur, usar from the Eish, and they burnt it. But not just that. They got together and they took a vote. Uberchu. And they put Rebbe Eliezer into Nidoy. Baruchu literally means they benched him. But it's a Lashon Saginar. It's a euphemism. They put him into Nidoy. Va'amru. And then the Chachamim said, Mi yelech v'yodiyoy. Who's going to tell Rebbe Eliezer that he was just put into Cherem? Like, who's going to notify him? Who can tell him? Amalem Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was there. He said, Ani yelech. I'm going to go. Now, just a little context. Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Akiva says, I'm going to go tell my Rebbe what just happened. I mean, he has to now deliver the news that he was just put into Nidoy. This is going to change Rabbi Eliezer's life forever. And he's the one that's going to tell him. But Rabbi Akiva said, why? We know, you don't ever want to be the person to be the one that breaks the bad news. But Rabbi Akiva said, I'm afraid for someone else to do it. Because if the wrong person does it, out of showing disrespect to Rabbi Eliezer, he may end up destroying the entire world. Rabbi Eliezer was the tzaddik yisoid oilam, and I'm afraid that the entire world is standing on the schusim of Rabbi Eliezer, and who knows if someone talks to Rabbi Eliezer disrespectfully, what that can do. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll be sensitive to this, let me be the one, I'm willing to take on this mission. So the Gemara says, Ma asa Rabbi Akiva? What did Rabbi Akiva do? Lava shchayrim, put on black clothing, v'nesativ shchayrim, and he covered himself with black clothing. And he came to Rabbi Eliezer, but he didn't sit within his dalet amos. Rabbi Eliezer turns to his Talmud. He says, Akiva, he says, why are you sitting so far? Rabbi Akiva breaks the news. He says, Rabbi, I think that your chaverim, they want to distance themselves from you. And then he told him why. The Gemara says, Afu, as soon as Rabbi Eliezer heard that Kara Begadav, he tore his clothing. V'chalatz minolav, he took off his shoes. V'nishmat, he got off his chair. V'yoshav agabi karka, and he sat on the ground. And zogu ein of demois. And then Rabbi Eliezer started to cry. Says the Gemara, that because of the tsar that Rabbi Eliezer had, and because of the tears that Rabbi Eliezer cried, loka ha'olam. The world, the entire world economy took a hit. How so? Shlish bezesim. One third of the olives in the world were damaged. Shlish bechitin. A third of the wheat of the world was damaged. Shlish besoim. And a third of the barley. V'yoshayim. Some say, av batzik shebidei isha tavach. There were women that were literally kneading dough. And all of a sudden, from one second to the next, this looked like this was going to be the nicest. And then all of a sudden, everything went bad. Says the Gemara Tana. Ach gadol haya. There was something even worse that happened on that day. Shebechol makosh anasa ba'in of Rabbi Eliezer nisraf. Wherever Rabbi Eliezer would gaze his eyes, literally, wherever Rabbi Eliezer looked, that area would be burnt. V'af Rabbi Gamliel haya babas. The Gemara tells the story of Gamliel was once on a boat. Meaning there was a big storm. The cowboy, and it looked like the boat that Rabbi Gamliel was on was going to sink. Amar, he said, I know why this is happening. It's happening because of the way I treated Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Gamliel gets up and he says, Ribbono shel olam, kol yadul lefanecha, shel olam lechvoid yosisi, v'lo lechvoid beis abba yosisi, elo lechvoidcha, I did it for your covet, shel yarbu machloikis b'Yisrael. I did it so there should be no machloikis in Klal Yisrael, nachayom mizapi. And as soon as he said that, all of a sudden the storm stopped. One last postscript to this story. The Gemara says, Ima Shalom, this is the Rabbi Eliezer. Ima Shalom was Rabbi Eliezer's wife. Achdei the Rabbi Gamliel Avoy. She was also the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. Mehu Maisa Ve'elach, from the time that this story happened moving forward, Lehav Shavka Le the Rabbi Eliezer Lemepel Alape. She would never let her husband Rabbi Eliezer go Tachnon. Why? Because she was afraid that when Rabbi Eliezer would go Nefilas Apayim, he was so broken for what happened to him, for the way he was treated, he would be so bizarre and something bad would happen to somebody. One day, it was Rosh Chodesh. And there was confusion whether it was Rosh Chodesh or it wasn't Rosh Chodesh. Either way, meaning she thought there's no Tachton today. It turns out there was Tachton. Some say, Asa Anya V'Koy Abava. Some say that as soon as Rabbi Eliezer was about to go Tachton, and this was her time to, right, say no Tachton today, to somehow try to distract him, all of a sudden Ani came to the door. Afikale Rifta. And she went to attend to this Arim man, Ashkechid the Nafalav. She turned around and she saw Rabbi Eliezer was in the middle of Tachlin. Amrele, she said, Kum. She got up and she told Rabbi Eliezer, let's go. Katlis the Achi. My brother's died. Adahachi Nafik, literally, as she said it, Nafik Shippurim based Rabbi Gamliel the Shachar. Word got out, Rabbi Gamliel, who was the one that oversaw this whole nidoy of Rabbi Eliezer, he had died. Amr Allah, so Rabbi Eliezer said, Mina Yadis, how did you know this? Amr Allah, she told him, Kach Mikublani Bidei Sabi Abba. I'm going to tell you the Messiah that I have. Kol Asha'orim Ninalu Chutz Mishari Ayna. That all the gates in heaven, all the gates in heaven are closed. But the Shari I know, if someone tampers with somebody else, that's dangerous. And I knew how much Tzar Rabbi Gamliel caused you, and that's why I was afraid of how this was going to go. That's a fascinating story. We just learned another Amid Gemara's make up for the Amid in Maikon that we didn't learn. But either way, this is a whole Amid Gemara where the Gemara tells this fascinating story of Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer ends up in Nidui. But there's another very, very important Gemara that we have to learn. A shorter Gemara. And that's Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samaches. The Gemara says, Kishachalu Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was sick. Nichnesu Rabbi Kiva v'chaver of Levakar. Rabbi Kiva and his chaverim, they all came to him v'vakar chayla. Says the Gemara, Hu yoshin v'kinev shaloi, v'hen yoshvin v'traklin shaloi. They were keeping a little bit of a distance. Says the Gemara, v'oseyayim Erev Shabbos. It was Erev Shabbos. V'nichnes Hurkinis b'noi lachlitz tefillin. And Hurkinis, who was the son of Rabbi Eliezer, entered his father, Rabbi Eliezer's room, to take off his tefillin. The Gemara says, Gar boy, that Rabbi Eliezer, as soon as his son walked in, he yelled at him, V'yotza ben Azifa, and he left ben Azifa, which has new meaning after learning Ma'ikot and Daft Hazayin. Says the Gemara, Amra lehem lechaveirov, kimeduma anisha daitai shal abba nitrifa. Either way, the Gemara says they were able to prove from that story that Rabbi Eliezer was still in his das. I mean, they knew he was very sick. They knew it was literally the final moments of his life. But from this story, I'm skipping a little bit, they were able to tell that he was still okay. Amalem, so Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Akiva, v'chaver, and he says, Lama Basim, why are you here? He says, what are you doing here? Amrulay, they told him, Lumay Taira Banu. So he came to learn Taira. Amalem, so he told him, now? Ba'ad Achsham Lamalem Basim, where have you been for the longest time? You haven't been here. Amrulay, they said, Lehayulanu Pnai. It's fascinating. So what do you, we didn't have time. They're talking to Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lehem, Rabbi Eliezer told him, Tomia ani am yamusu misas atzman. It would be a wonder to me. I would be shocked and stunned and flabbergasted if you end up dying a natural death. Amar lehem, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was there. And he said, Shalima, what about me? Amar lehem, shalcha kasha mishalahem. Yours is going to end up being the worst. The Gemara says that at that time, Rabbi Eliezer, he started expressing the tzar that he had, that he wasn't able to spend time with his talmidim. And he starts saying, Harbi Torah lamadati, v'harbi Torah limadati. He starts talking about all his greatness and learning. It's a fascinating, fascinating Gemara. We have to go weiter. So the Gemara says that finally, at the end of this whole story, and Rabbi Eliezer's b'tzar, and he's telling his talmidim, do you realize what you missed out because of the fact that you didn't spend more time with me? Says the Gemara, they asked him a shayla. Amar lehem, Rabbi Eliezer answered, and he said tahar, which was his psak with the Tanur Achnoi. He said tahar, v'yatzah neshmasai b'tahayra. And as soon as he said that word, it was yatzah neshmasai, and Rabbi Eliezer's neshama left this world, it left this world b'tahayra. Amar Rabbi Yeshua al raglav, Rabbi Yeshua got up, v'amar, and he said, huter aneder, huter aneder. He said, Rabbi Eliezer, we know the sugi is a mesachtes moikot, that when a person dies, he takes nidui with him into the next world. That's why on the orin, and that's why when I maspid him, and that's why when I'm alava him. But he said, huter aneder, huter aneder. Maitzoy Shabbos pogav by Rabbi Akiva. Min kisri lelud, Rabbi Akiva met the levaya, and the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was makib of Sarah. He was literally causing himself to bleed. Taisus famous kasha. What do you mean? I thought it's mitarki amayri, and I'll let it do it. It says in the Torah, loisuskaydu, the famous teretz that the Noid of Yehuda based why he was maspid upon Yeshua, even though he wrote in his Savah not to be maspid, a raid that we've spoken about in the past. But either way, and he started crying, Rabbi Akiva, and he said, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, Ufarash of Harbe Mois, Yeshli, Ve'enli Shulchani, Laratzlaisim. Two very, very classic Gemaras. But one thing is clear from these Gemaras, and that is Rabbi Eliezer, after the story with the Tanner, he was put into Nidoy. That's what happened. Rabbi Eliezer was put into Nidoy. So first things first, what did Rabbi Eliezer do to deserve to be put into Nidoy? What happened? Why exactly was he put into Nidoy? So the truth is, it's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Be'esrim v'arba mekoymos, Bezdin menadin al kvod harav. There are 24 examples of where Bezdin puts someone into Nidoy because of kvod harav, because of the fact that this person didn't give proper kavod to a Rebbe. And in that sugya, the Gemara mentions, the Gemara invokes the Maisa with Rabbi Eliezer. And it's muchach that the reason Rabbi Eliezer was put into Nidoy is because of Kfoy Darav. Because he fought against Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, and Rabbi Yeshua, who was the Avbezdin, and really against all the Chachamim. And it's because of Kfoid HaRav that he was put into Nidoy. If you were going to revisit the Rambam's list of 24 and try to see which one Rabbi Eliezer fits into, it's probably the first one. The first of the 24, the Rambam says, is HaMevazeh Es HaChacham. Now this is not mamish mevaza sachacham, but if you look in the Kesef Mishnah says, how does the Rambam know that if someone's mevaza chacham, the halach is that he gets put into nidui? So he says, ayin brach is daf yotesam at aleph, where the Gemara says, be'etzrim v'arba mekoymos menadin al kvoid harav. He quotes this Gemara, and this Gemara quoted Rabbi Eliezer. So it's what the Rambam refers to as a mevaza sachacham, and that's the reason that Rabbi Eliezer was put into chayim. But here's the shayla. And again, this is a shaila that really jumps off the page now that we're learning the sugyas of Masechtas Ma'akan. We've been learning that there's two different levels, there's two different madrigas of nidoy. There's what's known as the menuda, and it's what's known as the muhram. The menuda being the lower level, the muhram being a lot more severe. Which one was Rabbi Eliezer put into? Was Rabbi Eliezer put into a state of nidoy? Or was Rabbi Eliezer put into a state of cheirim? So if you look in Rashi, in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, and Tosfos in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, and the Ritva in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, they all say Rabbi Eliezer was a menuda. Rabbi Eliezer was chayiv nidui. Like the Gemara says, Be'etzim v'arba mekoyma yizbezdim minadin al kvoid harav. The Rambam says, al arba v'etzim dvarim minadin esa adam. Rabbi Eliezer fit into one of those categories, category one, the way the Rambam lists it. So he was put into a state of nidui. So Rabbi Eliezer was a menudi. He wasn't a muhrim. He wasn't on that more severe level. He was on the lower level. Stating that, the Ramban, right here, Masechtas Bava Metzia, is Mayrach. And the Ramban says, that's not the case. The Ramban brings no less than six rayas that Rabbi Eliezer wasn't put into nidui, but rather Rabbi Eliezer was put in to cheirim. Says the Ramban, we're not going to go through all of them, but says the Ramban, he says, the Gemara says when they put Rabbi Eliezer into nidui, what's the lashon of the Gemara? It doesn't say they put him into nidui. The Gemara wouldn't use a lashon like that. How could you say those words out of your mouth when you're talking about Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara used the lashon saginar. The Gemara says barchu, they benched him. Meaning, they did the opposite of that. So says the Ramban, this is like a classic. Says the Ramban, what's the opposite of bracha? The opposite of bracha, the antithesis of bracha is klala. Klala is a lashon of orer. The Gemara says in my Katan Tezayin, oiru meirois, and the Gemara said orer. And what did orer mean? The Gemara said cherim. So the word orer actually means cherim. It doesn't mean nidoy. So says the Ramban, a tover nifla. He says, if the lashon the Gemara used euphemistically was berchu, that means what did really happen? The opposite of bracha. What's the opposite of bracha? Orer. Orer is not menud, it's cherim. So says Ramban, I see it from the Gemara itself. From the fact that the Gemara said barchu, that's a raya that it must have been orer and orer is cherim. Besides, says Ramban, I'll bring you klarer rayas. He says, the Gemara says that as soon as Rabbi Eliezer was told, Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Eliezer, he breaks the news to him, and he tells him, Rebbe, I can't say this, but you know, unfortunately right now you're in a state of nidur. So the Gemara says, what was the first thing that he did? He took his shoes off. So says the Ramban, the Gemara says in my cotton, menuda. Yeah, ni'ilas ha'sandal or no ni'ilas ha'sandal. And the Gemara's not poshed it. It's a boy of the la'ifshita. The Gemara said teiku. We don't know. Why is it teiku? Bring a ride from Rabbi Eliezer. See, Rabbi Eliezer took his shoes off. Elamai wasn't a menuda. He was a muhrim. A muhrim is more chamer. He says, I'll tell you another ride. The Gemara says that what did Rabbi Eliezer do as soon as he heard the news? He got off his chair. Why did he get off his chair? Why do you sit on the floor? Because it's din kfiyas hamita. You have to take all the chairs, the couches, the benches. Right, the mita today is where you sleep. But once upon a time, it was also where you sat. So you have to take the mita and you have to flip it over. Says the Ramban. The Gemara says in my kan daf tesvav, the sugyas that we're learning, a menuda is any chay of the chafos. He doesn't have to do it. So why did he do it? Must be that's what happened. He says the Gemara says he rice kriya. He rice kriya. Says the Gemara rice kriya. The Gemara in my kan daf tesvav says that a menuda doesn't rise kriya. So why was he doing all these things? So says Rabbi, must be he wasn't a menuda, he was a muhrim, and a muhrim is more severe than a menuda, and that's why he did all these things. He says, besides, I'll bring you the biggest raya in the world. Because the Gemara says, what's the primary difference between a menuda and a muhrim? The primary difference is what? A menuda is allowed to learn Torah from somebody, and he's allowed to teach Torah to somebody. He's allowed to work for somebody else, and he's allowed to hire somebody else. The muhrim is allowed to learn Torah by himself. Kadesh shaloi teshakach. He shouldn't forget his learning. But loy shoynin, v'loy shoynin loy.
Enoi soicher, and he can't be soicher somebody else. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that for all the years of Rabbi Eliezer, the rest of his life, all the Chachamim were perish from him. Nobody went to him. So he says, if nobody went to him, why not? What was the reason the Chachamim would have been perish from him? The reason the Chachamim must have been perish from him was because they held he was a muhrim. Because if he was a menod, that's a mefurish Gemara. You can learn Torah from him. Do you realize the mysterious nefesh of Rabbi Akiva v'chaver have not learned Torah by Rabbi Eliezer? You know what Rabbi Eliezer was? You call Chachmi Yisrael on one side, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkan is on the other side, bin Machri, everybody. We know Rabbi Eliezer is. The Basko said, Alocha Kamoisei B'chol Mokoy. So why would they have been punished? The Teretzin says, Rabban, they obviously had no choice. It wasn't an option for them to do anything else. So says the Rabban, it's posher to me that he was a Mukhrim. Oh, but fake the Rabban, if he was a Mukhrim, Hagufa Kasha, why? Why was he a Mukhrim? He was a Mevazes HaChachem, let's say. Let's say he fell into one of the categories of Bechof Dalad Mekoymes Menadin, Mishum Kvoid Arav. But why Cheirim? Why would he have been put into Cheirim? Says the Ramban, you have to say, because Rabbi Eliezer was persisting. He was going again and again and again. He said, Chruv Yochiyach, Amas HaMayim Yochiyach, Koisle Beis HaMedrash Yochiyach. And the Chachamim saw it, not just as one act, but it was another and another and another. And just like someone that remains and he doesn't have charata on his nidoy, at some point he gets upgraded to being in a state of cherem. That's what happened in that one event. That is essentially the way it played out. And it's for that reason they put him into cherem. So says the Ramban, not like Rav of the Rishonim. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't a menuda, but rather Rabbi Eliezer was a mukhrim. And then the Ramban says something that's hard to believe. He says something that Ulmali Mikra Amra, if not someone on the caliber and the Ramban would say, this is something we would never be able to say. Listen to this line. It's the last line in the Ramban in this long piece. He says, V'ilu hayra l'maisa b'zman abayis. Had Rabbi Eliezer paskin, what he paskin, l'maisa b'zman abayis, hayo nasin zokin mamre. He would have been treated like a zokin mamre. L'fichach echmiru olav, that's why they were so machmer on him, uberchu. And they benched him. In other words, they put him into a state of cherem. The Ramban says that Rabbi Eliezer's story in the Tanur Achnoi is exhibit, it's a prototype of Zaki Mamre. That someone on the caliber of Rabbi Eliezer, he's going connected all the Chachamim. He said this was a might. I mean, how could you say this? Zaki Mamre was Chayv Skila. So he said that if this would have happened, Bizman Abayas, but his Lashon is V'ilu Hayra L'maisa, meaning, no one says Rabbi Eliezer would have passed in Lamaisa. But V'ilu Hayra L'maisa Bizman Habayis, if this would have happened, Bizman Habayis, Hayanas and Zaki Mamre, and the Ramban says it's Lefichach, it's for that reason, Hechmiru Olav Berchu. I saw Chiddush Noir. Again, this is like Chiddush Al-Gabi, Chiddush Al-Gabi, Chiddush. But I saw an unbelievable Chiddush in the Chavis Yar. We've quoted over the years, Shailos Yitzhuvah's Chavis Yar, Simen Tzadik Dalet. And the reason it's something that we've gone back to many times is because the Chavis Yar, Rabbi Yar Bachrach, he wrote a kuntres on Klali Apsak, and he included it in his Tshuva Sefer. So it's in Simen Tzadik Dalet. It's several pages long, and it's really like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch as it relates to Klali Apsak. So, you know, whenever you think of Klali Apsak, so you think of the Yad Malachi and all the different Svarim that are very helpful. The Yosef wrote a Sefer on Klali Apsak. But one of the important Mar Mekoymes in the world of Klali Apsak is Shailos Tshuva's Chavis Yar Simen Tzadik Dalet. So in that Simen, he talks about the concept of Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. We know Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. So what does Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti mean? What it means is we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. That we don't paskin halacha l'maisa like Rabbi Eliezer. The question is, why not? So there's a major machlokes rishonim. Literally, you have half the rishonim in the world on one side, and the other half of the rishonim are on the other side. Some rishonim say, what does it mean, Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti? It means this gemara. Shamuti is a lashon of shamta, as we've been learning the last few dafin. And you see, Rabbi Eliezer was in a state of nidoy, and that's really what it means. And because he was in a state of nidoy, so it's for that reason he's known as Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti. The other pshat that the Rishonim say, and really it comes from a Yerushalmi, that Shamuti is not from the Lashon of Shamta, it's from the Lashon of Shammai. Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, we've spoken about this countless times, and being that we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, it's for the same reason that we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. But the truth is, if you think about it, if you're mispointing for a second, we're learning the sugyas now of Nidoy. Let's say the Pshat of Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti is the Pasha Pshat. It means that he was in Shamta, he was in a state of Nidoy. That's a reason that we shouldn't paskin like him? Where do you find that if someone was put in nidah, we don't paskin like him? I mean, we literally went through all the Gemaras. We're already back to Veilu Magalchim now. We returned to our regular program. We've gone through everything. Where do you find a makar that if someone's in a state of nidah, that the halacha is that because the person's in a state of nidah, so therefore we'll never paskin like him? Meaning, the pashup shad in Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti is the chayre very shver. Bishloim Shamuti doesn't mean Shamta. It's nothing to do with the Gemara in Bava Metzian and Tess and the Gemara Sanhedrin Samaches. Shamuti is Miloshin Shamma, I say, I understand. But if Shamuti is Miloshin Shamta, why is that a reason we shouldn't paskin like Rebbe Eliezer? What's Pashup Shah? Aleph Beis. What's the Pashup Shah? So the Chavis Yor says like this. He said that he saw in a sefer from a certain Goyen that he told, that he said as Apshat. He said that being that the Ramban says that if Rebbe Eliezer would have been alive at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he would have been judged like a Zaki Mamre. He would have been Chayef Misa. You can't even say this, but I'm just going to quote the Chavis Yar. So it says the Chavis Yar, so it comes out, he was Chayef Misa. The Haya Kelay Haya. So Rebbe Eliezer, even though he was alive, he was Kelay Haya. Ukemes, Ubatl, who? Ubatlu Shmu Aysav. Lechein Lekamelon Kavasa. This is what the Chavis Yar says. I don't know what that means. But that's what he says. Because he was like a Zaki Mamre, so it's for that reason. So he was treated like a mace, as if he was bottle, and he was loy haya, and it's for that reason, like Kaimel on Kavas. But anyway, this is the machlokes we show him. We have Rashi and Tosfos and the Ritva that says that it's true, Berchu, they put Rebbe Eliezer in Cherem. But it was Nidu, it was the much lesser, the less severe version of it. The Ramban says, no, he was put in Cherem. And then the Ramban says, not only was he put in Cherem, but had he been alive the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and he would have maintained this position, he would have been treated like a Zaki Mamre with this Chiddish Sisrei Torah that the Chavis Yor brings, b'shem a certain Darshan. But either way, the Radal can't talk this long about Rebbe Eliezer and not quote the Radal. So the Radal, Rav David Luria, he wrote a Pirish, a classic Pirish on Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. And he wrote several hakdamas to his Pirish on Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. One of them is called Kuntres Emek HaBracha. That's the name of the hakdama. It's called Kuntres Emek HaBracha. The topic of Kuntres Emek HaBracha, the newer versions of it, it's 9 pages long. I would imagine in some of the older versions it was longer. Oisius Katanus. This is very, very long. And he wrote a very, very long introduction. And the subject matter is the nidui of Rebbe Eliezer. What was it? Was he a menuda? Was he a muhrim? What exactly was it? And he brings the Ramban. That's how he starts. And he brings that most of the Rishonim argue with the Ramban. And then he says, Lashonis, just listen. Vaniba niye. He says, who am I compared to the Ramban? I should put offer in my mouth. I can't be Mahar. He said, but what should I do? I have such kanois for the Tana HaKadosh Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. He says, I have no choice and I have to defend Rabbi Eliezer. And he said, Laham Lutzchus Neged Mashahevi Olav Rabbeinu Aramban Zalchet Godel. Vashema Toiv Yechaper Bad. He says, I don't understand. I don't know why the Ramban would have been Dan Rabbi Eliezer Lekav Chayva. He says, why? Why do you have to do that? Most of the Rishonim didn't learn like him. Which means the Rishonim had aitzes to all the kashas that the Ramban has. So he said, if Rabbi the Rishonim didn't hold this way, so he says, I don't understand why he held this way. So he goes through, does the Radal, all the kashas that Ramban asked, he brings all the Rishonim's teretz. It's literally, it's a deep dive into today's daf, yesterday's daf, and the day before's daf. So if you want a beautiful context to learn these last few daf in Be'ian, this Kuntres Emek HaBracha is where it's at. So he goes through the whole thing and he says like this, Soif Dover, Achri She'ein Raya Brula, that's Ramban's Abuzah. All the kashas the Ramban asked, we can deflect. V'gam Chalukin Olav Harbeh Mer Rishonim Zal. And most of the Rishonim argued with him. Nu Chaloy Mer, so we could say, Betach Lani Es Daiti, and this is for Avi, he said, we can say the cherem lo yia, Avi Langer, the cherem lo yia. So he says the words the cherem lo yia is bigamatria 315. He said if you take the koil, it's three words. So the cherem is one, lo yia is two, yia is three, right? The koil, you can always add one for the word. So if you take the koil, you're going to end up with not 315, 318, which is the exact gematria of Eliezer. So he says the Baruch Hashem, the cherem lo yia is Eliezer, Eliezer is nishtin cherem. Menuda? Yeah, the Gemara says he's a menuda. Of a cherem nish. This is what he says. This is part one of Kuntros Emek Abracha. Part two says the Radal, that Lule the Mistafina, I think, that not only, not like the Ramban, that Rabbi Eliezer wasn't put in cherem, and not only was he, that not, but in addition to that, he wasn't put into Nidoy either. And he said, I think that Rabbi Eliezer was never really put into cherem. Nothing. Nothing. It's never happened. He was never put into cherem, and he was never put into Nidoy. So says the Radal, what do you mean? These are Gemaras. These are often Gemaras. I mean, the Rabban has raised, it was cherem. The cherem was, yeah, it's a gematria, but he was put into, something happened to Berchu, they didn't learn by him. So he says, what happened was, is they told Rabbi Eliezer that you're going to have to be in a nidui type relationship with the Chachamim. I mean, you can't come to Beis Medrash anymore. And the reason is because Rabbi Gamliel was so afraid that Rabbi Eliezer was going to bring machloikas. It's for that reason he said, we have no choice. We have to keep a distance. What did Rabbi Gamliel say when it was Omadol of Nachshol Sholyam? So Rabbi Gamliel said, Golav yadu lefnei lefanecha, sheloi lechvoy diosisa, vloi lechvoy besaba osisi, elu sheloi yarba machloikis b'Yisrael. That was Rabbi Gamliel saying. That's what he was worried about. He was worried about Rabbi Eliezer. He was worried about machloikis coming. So he said, stay away from Beis Medrash. But he wasn't ever really put into cherem. And says the Radal, if you're not sure I'm right, I'm going to tell you three rayas. We'll mention them super quickly. But he said, I'm going to tell you three rayas. He says, I have three mefurish rayas. He said, you know what the mefurish raya is? He says, the Gemara says, to Sanhedrin, so he came to visit Rabbi Eliezer. And what happened? Hyrcanus, Rabbi Eliezer's son, comes in and he wanted to take tefillin off his father. So he yelled at him, and then they realized that he still was bedas, they weren't sure. He yelled at him. He was wearing tefillin. We learned the Gemara, Menuda's like a novel, he doesn't wear tefillin. So Frank Durada, how come no one asked his kasha? How was he wearing tefillin? He's not allowed to be wearing tefillin. He says, not just that, the Gemara says in Sukkah Chav Chesam and Aleph, Rabbi Eliezer said that he never went to Al Ramas play tefillin. It sounds like probably his whole life. But it doesn't sound like he ever took his tefillin off. So how was he able to wear tefillin? L'chari is not allowed to wear tefillin. He brings another right. The Gemara says, there's an Avos Rab Nosson in the 16th Perek, where it's Mavur in the Avos Rab Nosson that after Ima Shalom, who was Rabbi Eliezer's wife, died, Rabbi Eliezer got married again. The Gemara says he married Bas Achoisai, his niece. It's an Avos Rab Nosson, not a Gemara. It's an Avos Rab Nosson. He married Bas. We've quoted this Avos Rab Nosson before. The Avos Rab Nosson tells the story of the greatness of Rabbi Eliezer. Sheker Achein Behevel Ayoifi, Isha Yiris Hashem Hitasalol, and the greatest. We always think of Eshes Poitifa, and the Avos Rab Nosson tells the story with Rabbi Eliezer. And in that context, it's clear he married Bas Achoisai. A menuda zasa betash b'shamita. It's a Gemara. We learned the Gemara. So how was he allowed to marry Bas Achoisai? After Ima Shalom was alive at the time that the whole story happened. How do you know Ima Shalom was alive at the time that the whole thing happened? Because in the Gemara, in Bava Metzion and Tess, Ima Shalom is there. So obviously Ima Shalom is alive. So how was he allowed to get married again? I thought he was also Batash Mishamita. But then he has another raya. This raya is such a starker raya. It's a bomb kasha. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis, Rav, the Amora Rav was mangid. He was mangid man de mashal le shamte de rabban and talsin yoimin. He would give malchus to a person that was in a state of nidui for 30 days and he didn't do everything in his ability, in his human capacity to get out of nidui. So he said, how did Rabbi Eliezer allow himself to be in a state of nidui for the rest of his life? He should have gotten out of the nidui. He could have gotten out of it. All he had to do was be chayzer and he would have been out. So you'll tell me he didn't want to. He has a chiyuv to. Rav used to give malchus for someone that didn't. The Teretz says he was never in Nidoy. This was never a real Nidoy. He brings other eyes as well. He said he was never ever in Nidoy. So must be, then, so what was it? He said they were just trying to distance himself a little bit from Beis Medrash. And the reason is because really, this whole story, you know, we learned this Gemara, and the takeaway is, hey, Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, here, you know, we started Brachas Dabbeis, Rabbi Eliezer was 28 years old, he didn't even know Kriya Shema, and then the first time that's mentioned in Shas is, Me'imus HaKriya Shema Ba'arvin, Rabbi Mishosha Ki'anam Nechlasin, Lacha B'chumasa Matzayif HaShmur, Rishayin Adiv Rabbi Eliezer. He's the first time mentioned, and he's the first man da Omar in the Sugis of Kriya Shema, right? The whole, the beginning, the first few chapters of Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, he's the last time mentioned in Shas. And yet, here he has the ending of Rabbi Eliezer's life. Life is so confusing, right? It's like so hard to understand. So which is Rabbi Eliezer, the greatest Tana of all time, or is Rabbi Eliezer Le'idach Yisa? The Teretz is the way to understand Bava Metzia Nuntes, and the way to understand Sanhedrin Samaches, and the way to understand Brachas Yutes is by appreciating who Rabbi Eliezer was. Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Ramban, was put into a state of Cherem. Why would he have been put into Cherem? The Ramban himself struggles to understand why he was put in Cherem. The Teretz is because of who Rabbi Eliezer was. He was so great. And here you have Rabbi Eliezer who says something not like the Chachamim. They were worried. If someone else says something not like the Chachamim, it's not the end of the world. You know, in a way, to be called a Zakim Mamri is the greatest compliment you can be called. Because in order to be a Zakim Mamri, you have to qualify to be a Zakim Mamri. But the point is, it's because of Rabbi Eliezer's greatness that they felt, Shloyar b'machloikis b'Yisrael, that Rabbi Eliezer is, he can't be around. He was Shammai, but he was Tamid Beshammai as well, and therefore they said, Rabbi Eliezer, maybe it's not such a good idea. He was never put into Cherem, said the Ravdal. They would have never done it to him. The Ravdal, the great defender of Rabbi Eliezer, said, that's not possible. But rather, what happened was he was told not to come to Beis Medrash, but he never had to conform and comply with all the halachas of Nidoy. That's why Rabbi Eliezer never felt an obligation to take himself out of the Nidoy. That's where Rabbi Eliezer was able to wear tefillin. That's why Rabbi Eliezer was, the Ravdal says, you know, they didn't learn Torah, Rabbi Eliezer, right? That was the Ramban's Grace Araya. They didn't learn Torah. He says, the truth is that that last day, the Gemara says, Pshas P'ti Rasa, if you go through the Gemara in Sanhedrin, they learned so much Torah from him. Rabbi Eliezer's son, Hyrcanus, learned Torah from him. There were those that did learn Torah, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva the Chaverev didn't. They had to distance themselves from him. But he never had a din of a real Menuda. He never had a din of a real Mukhrim. The bottom line is, we learned the Sugis of Nidoy, the Sugis of Cherem. The most famous person to ever be put into Cherem was Rabbi Eliezer Gadol. It's Mefurish Gemara. But at the same time, we have a major shaila, great debate. It's fascinating on a halachic level, fascinating on a just on a theological level, just from a hashkafa level, that Rabbi Eliezer would have been put into Cherem is a fascinating concept. What was the nature of it? According to Rav Rishonim, he was a menuta, the lowest level of Nidoy. The Ramban says he was a mukhrim. The Ramban utters words that we can't even repeat, that had it been in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, he would have been judged as a Zaki Mamre. And then the Radal, the great defender of Rabbi Eliezer, the Radal says, Ichab Rayez, he wasn't a Menudi, he wasn't a Mukhrim. He was told not to come to Beis Medrash. And like Rabbi Gamliel told the Nachshol Shebiyam, why Shloyar b'machloikis b'Yisrael? Precisely because he was so great, and because he had a little bit of a different Messiah, it wasn't Kedai, it wasn't worth it. Picture the times, right? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everything is upheaval, everyone trying to make sure there's going to be a clearly defined Messiah. This is the way we're going to do it. The way we're going to do it is by doing certain things that really very, 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 very painful things. Rabbi Eliezer was told not to come to Beis Medrash, but Rabbi Eliezer was never formally put into any Nidoy or in any Cherem.